seems like something someone else would do. You would never engage in it or be guilty of it, would you? How about this? How many of you write to clients and sign letters in your own name, or to the court or another attorney? And how many of you in New Jersey know that that is a violation of Opinion 611 of the Supreme Court of New Jersey? But I'll get to that a little later. Here's another question. Your attorney is out of town. A client comes in that you know quite well. He wants to discuss his case with you. He wants to know if you think he has a good chance of winning and what he needs to do to make this happen. Do you answer him? Absolutely not. That would be the unauthorized practice of law. Now, if that same client asked you how much it would be to incorporate in Delaware, could you tell him? Yes, that does not require a legal opinion. These are the fine lines you need to walk as a paralegal. So what exactly is the unauthorized practice of law? In 2002, the ABA, American Bar Association, proposed a definition to avoid confusion. The practice of law consists of the application of legal principles and judgment with regards to the circumstances or objectives of a person that requires the knowledge and skill of a person trained in the law. The Federal Trade Commission, however, argued that the definition was too broad and anti-competitive and was a disservice to the public. Thereafter, the ABA stated it did not find it desirable to define what constitutes the practice of law, but did indicate that the practice of law relates to the rendition of services for others that call for the professional judgment of lawyers. The essence of the professional judgment of the lawyer is his educated ability to relate the general body and philosophy of law to a specific legal problem of a client. So really, what does all of this mean? Why has it been so hard to define the unauthorized practice of law? Apparently, the courts feel that they will decide on a day-to-day basis, case-by-case basis, what does constitute the unauthorized practice of law, rather than setting forth a basic, broad definition. There is a case that does involve paralegals with regard to the unauthorized practice of law, and I believe it is the only case in the country at the present time. This is In Re Opinion 24 of the Unauthorized Practice of Law Committee of the Supreme Court, and it is a New Jersey case. In 1989, the Unauthorized Practice of Law Committee of the Supreme Court hosted a series of hearings investigating so-called paralegals who were working for the public. The people they were investigating were document preparers. My partner, Peg Stalford, and I testified to the committee as to how we, as freelance paralegals, worked under the supervision of attorneys and did not work for the public. However, on November 15, 1990, the UPL committee issued Opinion 24, which in essence put us out of business. It said that the use of a freelance paralegal constituted the unauthorized practice of law. I was a petitioner in that case, and our attorneys filed a petition for a stay, which was granted, which allowed us to continue working. During the next 2 years, the National Association of Legal Assistants, the National Federation of Paralegal Associations, the American Association for Paralegal Education, the Legal Assistants Association of New Jersey, and the South Jersey Paralegal Association filed amicus briefs in our behalf. On May 14, 1992, the court handed down their decision that there was no distinguishable difference between an in-house paralegal and a freelance paralegal as long as each of them were properly supervised by an attorney and an attorney was responsible for their work. This case was not just about freelance paralegals. It is about paralegals everywhere. Paralegals who work in satellite offices where there are no attorneys present, or paralegals whose bosses are on vacation for a few weeks and they are in the office churning out paperwork, dealing with clients, answering questions, etc., etc. In Re Opinion 24, the court stated that, quote, there is no question that paralegals' work constitutes the practice of law. However, if their supervising attorney assumes direct responsibility for the work that the paralegal performs, they do not engage in the unauthorized practice of law, end quote. And that is the key, that direct responsibility. That is why the court does not want you signing letterhead to your attorney's client, or to another attorney, or to the court. The court wants to make sure the attorney is fully aware at all times what is transpiring in a case. That having been said, there are really three major areas that we must be concerned with. Number one, a paralegal may not give advice. Now, here are some examples. Which behavior is not unlawful? One, answering a client's questions about the meaning of a contract. Yes, that is unlawful. That is practicing law. Interviewing a client to obtain facts relating to an auto accident? No, that is not the unauthorized practice of law. Telling a client they would be better off filing in small claims court? Yes, that would be the unauthorized practice of law. Explaining to a client what happens in a deposition? No, of course, you are not giving advice or legal opinion. Telling a client their case is likely to settle? Yes, there you are giving legal advice. Or attending a real estate closing without an attorney? No, that is not the unauthorized practice of law. The second thing a paralegal has to be aware of is that a paralegal may not accept set a fee. The relationship between the client and the attorney must be established by the attorney, not their support staff. You may not set a fee in a case on behalf of an attorney or accept a case on the attorney's behalf. And third, a paralegal may not appear in court. While there are many administrative agencies, and I'll give you a few, Social Security, IRS, Immigration and Naturalization Services, National Labor Relations Board, Health and Human Services, and so on, you may appear as a paralegal without an attorney on behalf of a client. However, you may not appear in court on behalf of the attorney, nor may you sign pleadings on their behalf. So, what can the paralegal do? The paralegal can do many things, such as conduct interviews and maintain general contact with the client after the establishment of the attorney-client relationship, so long as the client is aware of the status and function of the paralegal, and the client contact is under the supervision of the attorney. A paralegal may conduct legal research for review by the attorney. A paralegal may draft legal documents for review by the attorney. A paralegal may draft correspondence and pleadings for review by and signature by the attorney. You may summarize depositions, interrogatories, and testimony for review by the attorney. You may conduct investigations, statistical and documentary research, locate and interview witnesses, so long as the witnesses are aware of the status and function of the paralegal. You may author and sign letters, provided your status is clearly indicated and the correspondence does not contain independent legal opinions or legal advice, and so long as the letter is not written to the attorney's client, another attorney, or the tribunal. And you may attend executions of wills, real estate closings, depositions, court or administrative hearings, and trials with the attorney. Almost every state except Arizona has an unauthorized practice of law statute, which makes it illegal for anyone who does not meet the requirements set by state bars to render legal services. It is imperative that you, as a paralegal, check the statutes, bar association, and paralegal association from your state to ascertain what the rules and guidelines are for the unauthorized practice of law. The American Bar Association has set some guidelines for the utilizations of legal assistance, and those guidelines may be found on the American Bar Association website. And you really should check and make sure what you may and may not do. But you must always stay within those three parameters. A paralegal may not give advice, may not set a fee, and may not appear in court. And if you stay within those guidelines, you will not be ever accused of the unauthorized practice of law.